The title of the message is Give Thanks. Would you please say that out loud? Say, give thanks. Let's say it like this. Say, I want to give thanks. I want to give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 to 18. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks. Please say, give thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Well, there were two little boys. They were brothers. And after Thanksgiving, there was one piece of pumpkin pie left. So they began to argue over that, who's going to get the last piece of pumpkin pie. And it was getting pretty intense. And the mom heard it from the other room. She thought that this would turn to blows. And so she ran in there quickly. And she said to them, what would Jesus do in a circumstance like this? And they were quiet for a little while. And she challenged her, well, what would he do? And finally, the older brother said, well, I guess he would give it away. He would give it away. And she goes, that's right. Jesus was very generous. He'd probably give it away. And there was a long pause. And finally, the little brother pointed at the big brother and said, you be Jesus. You be Jesus. It's this idea of giving thanks and being thankful. It reminds me of a mom who took her daughter to an audition to be in a play. And she was concerned because she didn't think that her daughter would get a part in the play or receive any significant part in the play. So she was really concerned, and she went to the audition. And after the audition, the daughter came out running so excited. She said, Mommy, Mommy, I was chosen to clap and cheer. I was chosen to clap and cheer. Isn't that sweet? And I wish that we could get that in our hearts, that that is a significant role, to clap and cheer. That's significant, to be thankful, to encourage others. You know, there are some medical and some psychological benefits to being thankful. And you can study these out, but they have said that if you're a thankful person, it will improve your physical and your mental health. They have done numerous studies on this. If you're a thankful person, it's going to create happiness. It's actually going to promote better sleep in your life. If you're a thankful person, it will improve your relationships. Being thankful helps you overcome worry and depression. And this is really, really interesting. If you're a thankful person, it's going to open door for opportunities. It's actually going to give you favor with other people. And I think we would all admit that we like being around some thankful people. We enjoy being around some thankful people. And so I want to talk to us today just about being thankful. Let's say the title again, say, give thanks, and personalize it. Say, I want to be thankful. I want to be thankful. So I want to read this again, 1 Thessalonians, and I think I said 4. That was a typo. That should have been chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. And verse 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. Now, I think it's very important here that it says give thanks in all circumstances. It doesn't actually say give thanks for all circumstances. Now, that makes more sense to me. In fact, you might be here today and you might be fighting a physical condition. It would be hard to be thankful for that. Somebody might be listening to me today and have just lost their job, or might be going through a separation in their marriage. It would be hard to be thankful for some of those things. But that's not what the scripture says here. It says, give thanks in all circumstance. Now that makes a little more sense to me, because I don't have to thank the Lord for the bad things that necessarily happen or the trials and the tribulations, but I can be thankful in that and still have my eyes on the Lord and see what He wants to show me, and He can give me peace through those things. So we are to give thanks in all circumstances and not for all circumstances. Now, I want us to just think about this today. Thankfulness is really a discipline. It has to do with character development. It's not a gift. I like the gifts. The gifts are free. We can pray for impartation. You can receive gifts. You can see, receive things from the Lord. But when the Bible talks about thankfulness, it's really more about your character development. And this is interesting because when you tie this to the previous verse where it says, be joyful always, pray continually. Let's put that scripture back up on the screen. It says, be joyful always and pray continually. And then it says, give thanks in all circumstances. In other words, what we're seeing here is that to be joyful is a decision. It's a choice. To pray continually, that's a decision. And so when we talk about giving thanks, that's this idea as well, that it's a choice. It's a decision. So we can choose to be thankful. So thankfulness is really about character development. It's about us learning to have a lifestyle where we are really thankful for the things that God has done in our lives. So I would say it this way, that thankfulness is like a muscle. You know, if you were to work out and let's say you did 100 reps for something, you would stay fit, but you wouldn't necessarily get stronger. You wouldn't be able to lift more. How do you lift more? You lift more by doing less reps and adding more weight to it. So 100 reps will keep you fit, but if you want to increase your capacity to lift more, you got to drop your weights to about 4 to 6 reps, and you always push to the point of resistance where you can't go any further. Now apply that to thankfulness. Apply that to this idea that God wants us to grow in our thankfulness, that we could be repetitive in our thankfulness, but it's not easy when it's a big trial. It's not easy when it's something that seems impossible. And yet God still wants you to maintain thankfulness in your life. But I know this, as you grow in the Lord and as you mature in the Lord, you have this ability to withstand pressure. You have this ability to endure more as you grow in the Lord, as you mature in the Lord. And so as you carry more weight, you can be thankful in certain areas. In fact, most of us, if we were to talk about the people that we admire in church and in our lives and the relationships we have, it's usually the people that are able to withstand great pressure and to overcome obstacles, and they still have a great attitude. Those are remarkable people. Those are the people that we admire to think, wow, they're going through incredible suffering or difficult times, but yet they're still thankful. Yet they still have this amazing attitude where they keep their eyes on the Lord. I remember years ago, I think it was in college, that I came across a little booklet that was called The Practice of the Presence of God. And it was written about a monk that lived in the 17th century in France. And he didn't actually write it, but they compiled some of his sayings. So Brother Lawrence was his name. That's all we know about him, just Brother Lawrence. And this little booklet, Practicing the Presence of God, or it was The Practice of the Presence of God. And it talked about his life. And his duties in the monastery was to wash dishes. That was his main thing, was washing dishes. But he had such an intimate and personal relationship with the Lord, and he had such a heart of thankfulness and gratefulness. And he would be washing the dishes, and while he was washing them, he would thank the Lord. Lord, thank you for this pot that we can cook food in. Lord, we thank you for this pan that we can cook food in, that we have food in, and we have pots and pans. Lord, I'm so grateful for the pots and pans. I wonder if some of us could get excited about the pots and pans. But he had this attitude. And don't miss the title of the booklet, The Practice of the Presence of God. How many people know that thankfulness takes practice? And when we talk about practicing God's presence, we know that theologically God never leaves us and he never forsakes us, but you've got to practice that. You have to acknowledge that he's with you all the time. And then the neat thing about that is in faith, as you acknowledge him, then you can sense his tangible and real manifest presence of God. That's the practice of God. I don't know about you, but I'd like to get a little more excited about pots and pans. I'd like to get a little more excited about cooking. I'd like to get a little more excited about all the little things that accumulate and then translate into a meal, that translate into God's provision. But if we could get that, like Brother Lawrence, I think we would really understand the joy of the Lord in our life. I don't think it's by accident that Paul says, be joyful always, pray continually, and then what does he say? That we need to give thanks in all circumstances. Now, the last part of that verse says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's will for you. You know, we're all wanting to know God's will. We're all wanting to please him. I think I'm looking around here, and I know most of us, you want to know how you can please the Lord. You want to know God's will for your life. Could it be that this is one of the main things, that if we could be thankful for the things that he has blessed us with, that we would be walking in God's will? I just submit this, but maybe sometimes we're missing out on what we think is God's will because we're not as thankful for the pots and the pans. Say amen to that. Someone say, I want to give thanks. I want to give thanks. This is a powerful verse. Now, I want to connect this verse here to a couple of other passages where Paul talks about thankfulness. And I want to invite you to go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Here's what Paul says. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't be fearful. Don't be anxious. But then look at this, what he says. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I wonder if you've ever had a prayer list. Sometimes we might have certain things that we write down, our prayer list, the things that we're asking God about. And maybe you don't write it down, but you probably have a prayer list in your mind, things that you're praying about, things that you're asking the Lord for. And there's nothing wrong with that. I wonder if instead of having a prayer list, we could have a thankful list. The things that we're thankful for. Maybe we could be challenged in that. Not so much our needs, which is understandable. But I know I come to the Lord a lot and I say, Lord, I need this. Or when are you going to do this? Or I'm believing you for that. And I wonder if I would come to him with a list of thankfulness. Lord, I'm so thankful for my salvation. I'm so thankful for peace in my heart. I'm so thankful for my family. I'm so thankful for religious freedom. I'm so thankful for your word. I'm so thankful for the peace of God. I'm so thankful for your healing in my heart and in my body. So many things that we could be thankful for. And so Paul tells us here, how do you go to the Lord in prayer? He says, don't be anxious about anything. Now, he does affirm the fact here that you come to the Lord with prayer and petition. You ask him for things. But I love this because he says, when you ask the Lord for something, do it with thanksgiving at the same time. Man, that's really the way to pray. Because if you're hurting, yes, you say, Lord, I want to be healed. But you can also come to him with thankfulness and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you died on the cross and you'll forgive me for my sin. Thank you that you'll give me peace. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to provide for me. Thank you for what you've done for me in the past. And so I trust you that you're going to provide for me in this situation. And this really, I think, will build your faith. Because you'll remember what God has done. Out of thankfulness, you're remembering what he did. But now you ask him for those needs that you had. What a beautiful way to come to the Lord. So you're coming to him in faith. You're coming to him acknowledging all the incredible blessings that you have and the way he has brought you through so many things. And then you ask him. That this is faith. This is a wonderful, wonderful way to pray. And it demonstrates absolute trust in the Lord. Say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you with what I'm going through because I have this heart full of thanks. I'm thankful. Let's say that again. Say, I want to give thanks. I want to give thanks. And so we give thanks while we pray. This is really important. Let me give you a visual. If you think of it this way, life is like a railroad. So two rails, Yeah, the train will go on, right? It's like a railroad. If you think of it this way, one rail are all the good things in your life, and the other rail is all the bad things in your life. That's just life. And I wish I could tell you that there'll be times where everything is good, both rails are good. The reality is that's probably never going to happen. There'll always be some good and some bad. Even if you're in a good season and everything is, there's probably some stuff, you got some challenges, some bad things happening. Now here's the challenge. When you're hurting and you feel like everything is bad, I want you to know there's always some good too. And so the maturity in Christ, real true maturity in Christ, is to recognize that there's always two rails. And so you can acknowledge the bad, but maturity in Christ says, what's the good? Let me see the good as well. There's got to be some good here. There's got to be something that God is doing. There's still some good in my life. And I just want to challenge us as a church family and as the body of Christ to really acknowledge the good as well as asking God to help us when there's bad stuff going on. So life is really like two rails. So when you come in prayer to the Lord, you give thanks, but watch this. You got to emphasize the good over the bad. Because most of us, if we're really honest, when we go in prayer to the Lord, we emphasize the bad. And that's normal. We're hurting. Lord, I need help in this relationship. I need help at work. Lord, I can't pay the bills. We're emphasizing that. We're petitioning the Lord. But what God would say to us today is can you emphasize the good? Can you emphasize the good over the bad? This is what the Bible would talk about when it's saying to magnify the Lord. In other words, you're magnifying the good. You're emphasizing the good. But most of us, if we're really honest, we magnify the bad, the problems. And that's understandable. I mean, oh, God, it hurts. But we end up magnifying the bad so much. And God says, would you magnify me a little more? Would you magnify my promises a little more? Quit magnifying the problem so much. Magnify his promises. Quit magnifying the bad so much. Magnify the good. So in thankfulness, what that does is it helps you make a mental shift to emphasize the good instead of the bad. Not always easy, but you can do it. I can do it. We can do it by God's grace. So this idea of two rails, it's really the idea of two realities. We live in two realities all the time. So for example, right now, my two realities are that I'm sad because my kids are leaving the house. That's hard for me. Some of you are ahead of me in that journey, but they're growing up and they're leaving the house. So I'm sad, but I'm also excited because they're starting to fulfill their dreams. That's dual reality. In fact, what helps me when I'm sad is to start thinking about what they're doing. And that they're in college or they're pursuing their studies. So they're pursuing their dream. But that's a dual reality. I'm living in a dual reality. We all live in dual realities. Here would be another example. I have some financial challenges today. I do. I've got some financial challenges. But I'm also really blessed. God has blessed me. I live in an amazing house. I have a great car to drive. I have good health. I am blessed. So on the one hand, I have financial challenges, but on the other hand, I'm blessed and I have an income. That's a dual reality. So yes, I face challenges, but I'm blessed today. Here would be another example of living in two realities. I have a torn rotary cuff, and I'm asking the Lord to heal that. I'm believing the Lord. I'm standing in faith that He's going to heal that. But I have this torn rotary cuff, but my arm works. Hallelujah. It works. And by His stripes, I am healed. That's a dual reality, right? And so all of us are that way. We're children of God. We live in the spirit realm. That's a blessing, but yet we live in this human realm where there are challenges and we deal with our humanity and we deal with trials and tribulation. That's dual reality. But I can give thanks while I pray, understanding that there are these two rails There's the bad, but I want to try to emphasize. I want to try to emphasize the good. You know, Kyle and Alicia recently went through the heartbreak of a miscarriage. And they called us that day, and they had been to the doctor, and the doctor let him know that the heart wasn't beating. And so they came over to our house that night, and we cried. And Alicia said, and I love the way she phrased it. She said, "We're either going to get a documented miracle, or Alethea, their little baby girl, or she's in heaven." What a beautiful, beautiful perspective. And I am so proud of you guys, the way you kept your eyes on the Lord. And folks, we did our best. We tried to raise Alethea from the dead. I called her from that. I did exactly what the scripture says. Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." I called Alethea back into her body. We all prayed. Many of us did. We did everything that we knew to do to stand in faith for healing and for to raise her from the dead, to call her back into her body. But she wasn't raised from the dead. She's in heaven. But that's a dual reality, isn't it? It's a dual reality. And it's still walking in faith. So we walk in faith today. So they're sad because they would much rather have Alethea here. But the dual reality is that heaven is a real place, and they will see that baby girl one day. Say amen to that. Okay? And so this is the walk. This is true. This is real stuff. Okay. So with that in mind, then, we can pray with thanksgiving. We can pray with thanksgiving. Our eyes are on the Lord. Yes, it hurts. It hurts really bad. But the good is, heaven is a real place. The good is, God is a good God. And so we trust Him. That's the dual reality. So thus we can pray with thankfulness. So we bring our needs, our petition to the Lord, but we do it with thankfulness. That demonstrates trust and faith in the Lord. Can you say amen, church? And so we give thanks while we pray. Let me take you to another passage that really demonstrates this a little more. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Ephesians 5, verse 20. Someone say, "Give thanks." Say, "I want to give thanks. I want to give thanks." So Ephesians 5 and verse 20. "Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, this is confusing because we read in 1 Thessalonians that we should give thanks in all circumstances. And I just told you that verse did not say for all circumstances. And so when we read this, it says always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Does that mean I have to thank Him for all the bad stuff? And so this troubled me. So I did a word study on it. And I went to the word for. Now this word here is actually the Greek word huper. And huper should be translated as over and above. It's where we get our word hyper and different things. It means above. It means over. Now unfortunately, and I'm not saying I should be a Bible translator. By no means, I'm not saying that. But I looked at every single English translation and not a one of them translated it as over and above. But it makes more sense, doesn't it, when you look at the whole counsel of God and all the other scriptures? Because God isn't saying that you have to thank Him for everything, all the bad stuff. I mean, think about it. If somebody was abused, God's not saying you have to thank Him for that. Okay? But if you're going through trial and tribulation, you can thank Him. You can be thankful in circumstances because there's still good stuff here. So really, it's more accurate in this instance to say always giving thanks to God the Father over and above everything. What does that mean? On the two rails, that I have a thankful attitude because it's over and above. My good is over and above the bad. My thankfulness is over and above the bad. It's over and above. This makes a lot more sense. So here we see it. It says, always giving thanks to God the Father above everything else in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. over everything else. That makes a lot more sense to me. And so we can give thanks over and above our circumstances. Now, look at this pericope here. I want to show you the context. Go back up to verse 15, and let's see what Paul says right before these verses. He says, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord." And then he says, "Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything," or above everything, "in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." So there's four things that I would pull out contextually here that would help us to be thankful above everything else. The first one is this. He says, making the most of every opportunity. In other words, make the most of your situation. How can you be thankful above everything? It's by learning to make the most of every situation. You might have a job today that you just do not care for, but I'll bet you could make the most of that situation. You might have some challenges in relationship, but I'll bet you could make the most of that situation. Reminds me of a cartoon that I came across. And in this cartoon, this guy's in prison, and you see him. He's got a plate of food, and the prison guard is walking away. And as he's walking away, the guy says, "Garçon, garçon," which is translated as waiter, waiter. He saw his situation a little bit differently. Instead of just concluding that that's his meal, he's calling the prison warden a waiter. Now, I think we could all find ways that we can make the most of our opportunity. I know we could do it. So that's the first thing that he says. And then he says, don't be drunk with wine. I would say it this way. Don't look for a buzz in all the wrong places. That's why he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Everything the devil offers is a counterfeit. So that there's a reason why he parallels, and I've never been drunk, so I'm not sure, but he says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. It must give you a buzz, right? And the people that I've talked to and what I've read, it gives you a buzz in some way. Well, God wants you to have the buzz of the Holy Spirit, to just be filled with the Holy Spirit. So don't go to dead places for life. Don't go to other places to get a buzz. And then he says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. In other words, speak positively. Speak positive. Speak positive. If you're going to be a thankful person, you've got to build a vocabulary of positivity in your life. So be positive. And then he says, sing. So I'd say, try singing. Try singing. Try those things. You'll feel a little better if you speak positively, if you sing, if you don't get a buzz in the wrong places, and if you make the most of every opportunity. You do those four things. Now you come into verse 20, and you can say, always giving thanks to God the Father above everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so may God give us the grace to make the most of every opportunity, to not look for a buzz in the wrong place. Speak positively and then try singing. Ask the Lord to have a song rise up in your heart and just try singing. Can you say amen? Let's look at another verse. Look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Colossians 3 and verse 17. We can put it up on the screen as well. "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Someone say, give thanks. Go ahead and pinch your neighbor and say, you need to be a little more thankful. Especially if they're married to you, tell them they need to be more thankful. So number one, I've said give thanks in all circumstances. Number two, I've said give thanks while you pray. Number three, I've said give thanks above all things. And fourthly, I would say, give thanks in all you do. Do you know that it's actually possible to have a grateful attitude while you work? It is. Even if it's an incredible amount of stress, it's possible to have a grateful attitude while you work. He says, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord. So let's look at the verses above this to give us an idea of how we can do it with thankfulness and gratefulness. Look at verse 15. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Then he says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So what's he say in verse 15? He says, well, let the peace of God rule your heart. Let the peace of the Lord be in your heart. In other words, let peace rule, not turmoil, not confusion. How about this one? Not an argument. If you've been married for any time, then you know that an argument can stop the peace. And I don't know about you, but I've oftentimes let the argument rule my relationship instead of the peace of God rule my relationship. Look to your neighbor and say, that's pretty good preaching. Okay? So let's be honest, a lot of times in our parenting, in our relationships, maybe even at work, whatever, what do we let rule? Confusion, chaos, unchecked words, unchecked attitudes. We let that rule. And if you get into a big argument, I don't know if you've ever done this, but we'll have an argument that goes on and on for days. Well, we used to have arguments, and then the kids came along, and we'd have to actually pause our arguments and go help the kids. And then it was actually pretty refreshing because we'd go back to arguing, and we couldn't remember what we were arguing about. But I don't like the arguments that go on and on. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a pretty sensitive guy. I'm an emotional guy. So if I'm arguing with Sarah, it affects everything. I have a hard time having my mind in the game, getting my work done, because it's just troubling me. I want it to be okay with my wife, right? But I don't like that because I let the argument rule everything else. And what God is saying here is, no, let peace rule. Let peace rule. And talking about how to get through an argument is a whole other message. I have a whole message on how to get through an argument. But what God wants is for us to learn to let peace rule the situation. Okay. So he says, let peace rule your heart, not turmoil, confusion, arguments, things like that. And then he says here, let the word of Christ, let God's word dwell in you. Let it dwell richly. So get God's word in you. Let it dwell inside of you. In other words, let it live. Let it marinate. That's why I love right now as a church that we're reading through the New Testament. We're almost done. It's exciting. But part of that gets the word in us where it's dwelling. It's living in us. It's ruling in us. So what happens then in the middle of a crisis, your heart goes to God's word instead of the last thing you heard on TV. Sorry, I hurt your feelings there. Okay. Where your heart goes to God's word instead of somebody's counsel that doesn't know the Lord, you're letting God's word richly dwell in you. Okay. It's living in you. You're marinating it. You're meditating on God's word. So you let peace rule. You let God's word dwell in you. And then let songs rise up. Try singing again. That's interesting that in both passages he said, sing. You say, well, I'm not a singer. Yes, you are. God created you to sing. I'm not saying you have to sing loud here, But when you're alone, and some of you are thinking, I don't want them to sing loud. Here. But when you're alone, you should try singing. There's something about it. God created you to sing. And there have been times that I've gone through a difficult time and I've said, God, give me a song. Give me a song. And sometimes it's a song, a worship song, but other times it just comes out. It's a new song that comes up in my spirit. Let songs rise up in you. There's a reason why he says that. So sing a song. It'll get you out of your situation. Sing your way out. Sing your way out. Try singing. And then let work be done with thankfulness. So it's another flow. Let the peace of Christ rule. Let God's word dwell. Let songs rise up. And then verse 17, and whatever you do, in other words, whatever you're working on, whatever you're trying to accomplish, let work be done with thankfulness. So it's actually possible to give thanks in all we do. It's actually possible to have a grateful attitude while we're working, while we're doing things around the house. Even if your employees aren't doing what they're supposed to do. Even if your colleague at work keeps shoving responsibility off on you. Even if your employer is breathing down your neck. It's possible to give thanks in all situations and still have a grateful attitude. To still do it. I read about the Argentine golfer Robert DiVincenzo, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. But one time he won a golf tournament, and so he had all of his prize money, and he tells a story that right after winning all of his prize money, that a woman approached him in the parking lot and talked about her child being sick and the baby was about to die. And so he was really touching his heart, and so he gave her a large amount of money, a large portion of money. About a week later, some people came to him and informed him that the story was all made up, that it was a scam. He said, what? No baby dying? That's the best news I've heard all week. See, most of us, we'd be upset because we gave that money and they took advantage of us. And yet his thankfulness was, wow, there's no dead baby. There's no dying baby. You know, when you give to the Lord. Amen. And yeah, sometimes you might feel like people take advantage of you or you might have been burned. But you're giving to the Lord. Man, what a beautiful perspective that in all things I can still be thankful, even if there are times that I might feel like that I'm being taken advantage of. So let thankfulness flow out of your spirit. I would say it this way. Let it flow out of your spirit and don't resist it because of hurt and anger. I think I put that in the notes. Yeah, let thankfulness flow out of your spirit. Don't resist it because of hurt and anger. You know, sometimes we don't want to be thankful. It's easier to complain. In other words, we resist the thankfulness because we've been hurt, maybe by the person that's closest to us. Instead of demonstrating thankfulness, we've been hurt. And so what do? We go into a cave, we tunnel down, and so we're angry. So we're not showing thankfulness. We just walk around the house, walk around the house grunting. And what are you doing? You're tunneling down, you're going into a cave instead of being thankful. So don't resist. Let thankfulness flow out of you. Let it flow out of you. Have the right perspective. So you can give thanks in all you do. Let it flow right out of you. It's a dual reality. You've got challenges, but let it flow right out of your spirit. You got spirit, got power of the Holy Spirit in you. In fact, you have so much power inside of you that you can be thankful. You're powerful. Say that. Say, I'm powerful. Look at your neighbor and say, you're really powerful, okay? So you're more powerful. Don't let hurt or anger keep you from being thankful. You can overcome the emotions. I can overcome that tendency. Can you say amen? So number one, I've said that give thanks in all circumstances. Two, give thanks while you pray. Thirdly, give thanks above all things. And four, give thanks in all you do. You can have a grateful attitude, even if work and things are really difficult. So let me conclude by saying this. What will thankfulness do for you? What will thankfulness do for you? Here's a few things that I've written down. Thankfulness will overtake complaining. It's hard to do both. There's a lot I could say about that, but James talks about how do you praise God with, you know, it's like a river. How do you praise the Lord, but yet how do you be destructive? And how do you be thankful? And it's hard to complain and be thankful at the same time. So I've discovered that thankfulness overtakes complaining. And so may God give us the grace to be thankful so it'll overtake our complaint. By the way, it's easier to acquiesce and to complain, isn't it? Much easier. But God's called you to rise above. God's called you to swim upstream. God hasn't called you to melt into the masses of mediocrity. He's called you to rise above and be more than that, and so you can be thankful, and it'll overtake your complaining. God wants us to be a thankful people, not a complaining people. Say amen to that. Another thing that I've written down here is that thankfulness will eliminate criticism. Criticism is so painful. Criticism is so hurtful. And so you can be critical. I've seen people just, even when they're watching TV, they criticize everything. Watch a movie, criticize everything while it's going on. Everything is criticized. That's a critical spirit. But thankfulness will eliminate that because it's hard to be critical and thankful. So the next time you're so quick to point out all the faults in somebody, maybe you should be thankful for some of the things that they bring to the table. Say amen to that. Here's another one. Thankfulness will defeat inferiority. Most of us feel inferior. We don't feel that valuable. That's why we're trying to learn how much God loves us, that we're His children. He has an amazing plan for our lives. But most of us feel a little inferior. In fact, every person I've ever known or discipled or counseled, when you take away all the layers of humanity and the human emotion and you get down to who a person really is, most people don't feel that valuable. They don't feel like they're that great. So we're trying to tell them you can be great. I'm not talking about pride and sin that keeps people from coming to God. That's a different scenario, a different message. But most of us feel a little inferior. If we're thankful, it'll defeat that. If you have a spirit and an attitude of thankfulness and you cultivate that culture in your home, this inferiority complex will begin to be defeated. Isn't that refreshing? Yeah, because you know what? When you feel inferior, then you start sucking other people into that. Because you feel so bad about yourself, then you start pulling everybody else in the family down with you. A spirit of thankfulness will defeat that in your life. Here's another one. Thankfulness will conquer depression. And I'm not minimizing if you're struggling with heaviness and depression, and we've looked at that in the scriptures before. Great men of God like Elijah have struggled with depression. We understand that. But I know this, a spirit of thankfulness will conquer that. If you can begin to shift that in your life and wake up in the morning, begin to praise God, be thankful, you'll start seeing some victory. Studies have been showing over and over that people that come out of depression, one of the key ingredients is to start doing stuff for other people. You got to force yourself to do it. Got to go against all the feelings. But if you break through that, you have a spirit of thankfulness, start serving other people, you'll start climbing out of that hole. Say amen to that. And the last one I've written down here is that thankfulness will activate. It'll activate motivation. I wonder if you've ever gone through some times where you don't feel very motivated. You know what I've found is being thankful, having an attitude of gratitude and being thankful before the Lord, it starts renewing my motivation for life. You know why? Because I'm not focusing as much on the negative. I'm focusing more on the positive. And so then motivation is activated in my life. Amen? So let's say this out loud. Say, I want to give thanks. I want to give. Just touch your neighbor and say, hey, you got to be a little more thankful, a little more thankful, a little more thankful. Say it out loud. I want to give thanks. I want to give thanks. Let's stand to our feet today. Let's stand to our feet.